Blog Talk Radio.
Another fun edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthews, I'm William Mamo. Today, you know, it's kind of another quiet week after the Saints fulfilled their destiny and win the Super Bowl, being the much favored Indianapolis Colts for their first ever Super Bowl win. We're mostly gonna focus on the NBA and the All-Star Weekend. Of course, we'll talk about that. We'll also talk, you know, a little hot stove, even though there's nothing really going on. You know, we'll discuss the Daniel Murphy possibly most likely winning the job, you know, and having Keith Hernandez mentor him in spring training, and you know, we'll talk you know, pro wrestling, and we'll open up the phones as we always do to the fans, to the listeners. Talk about whatever you want to talk about, sports, entertainment, whatever. Everything's open, nothing sacred. So Macaulay, what's going on?
I'm good, man. I'm just on the internet here. You know, today's Valentine's Day, so I'm just looking at some ladies online.
Hey.
And, you know, a quiet sports week. What we have today is an All-Star game, the NBA All-Star game. Talk about,
yep.
So. Yesterday's All-Star weekend festivities was kind of whack. Well,
yeah, it sure was.
Contest, you know.
Yeah, Yeah, all the festivities was whack. Especially the biggest letdown was, of course, the which is usually the marquee event on the Saturday of the All-Star weekend. This, of course, we're referring to the Slam Dunk tournament. And this year, man, even though me and you would agree that we loved the outcome of the game with Robinson making minor history as being the only three-time winner in Slam Dunk history. But if you were watching the game, man, that game, this was the worst All-Star game I've ever seen.
Well, you mean the All-Star skills competitions? The All-Star games tonight?
No, not the did I say the All-Star game?
Yeah.
I meant the Slam Dunk contest. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was one of the worst I've seen in a long time.
It's easily the worst one I've seen. I mean, I just said a couple of seconds ago, I love the outcome with Nate winning, making history, but to be the only three-time Slam Dunk champion. But that also, there was only two or three dunks that actually got the fans, you know, excited. Even I believe Charles Barkley or Kenny Smith on the TNT broadcast, they were saying that there was only two dunks that actually made the fans actually get out of their seats.
Yeah.
Because it was real boring.
Yeah, man. Me and you could have competed in that dunk contest, and we could have won, probably.
Yeah.
Wait.
They looked like it was us trying to dunk because everybody was getting their dunks.
Yeah.
So they did look like me out there.
Yeah, I thought that Jared Wallace was going to win, but he was a major disappointment.
Yeah, I was rooting for Nate, and even though I had a bad feeling with Nate winning, he pulled it out.
Yeah, he had two good dunks.
Yeah, he did. But then again, that's also showing how crappy, the contest was yesterday. But Shannon Brown from the Lakers and DeMar DeRozan, the runner-up, Gerald Wallace, and of course the new three-time champion, Slam Dunk champion, Nate Robinson, who won his third Slam Dunk contest in his fourth in only his fourth appearance, and of course, rightfully so, he's not going to do it anymore because he's done all the dunks you could do.
Yeah.
I mean, he has nothing else to prove. I mean, he made history. He's the only person. He passed, you know, Michael Jordan and Dominique Wilkins and pretty much all the greatest dunkers. They've never won three until Nate just did it. So kudos for Nate to know, like that Kenny Rogers song, The Gambler. You know when to fold them, knew when to walk away.
Yeah, because it's good. He better, or else he's going to get injured one of these dunk contests, and he's not going to be able to play anymore ever again.
And you know what? Bad job by LeBron James, you know, ducking out of this contest, and all these other great stars who could have did this. They would have made this the Slam Dunk awesome, but no, they didn't want to take the chance, you know, to try to excite the fans for just one night. Like maybe an hour or two, because that Slam Dunk contest was short.
LeBron chickened out. That's basically it. He chickened out. If he had competed in this year's dunk contest, it would have been much better than it was.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. I think he chickened out because he's fearing that, you know, if he gets hurt in the Slam Dunk contest, you know, that will definitely hurt the chances of the Cavaliers winning a championship.
He's a punk.
But, I mean, I haven't heard him say anything. I haven't heard him say the reason why. So I'm just, you know, purely speculating on my part.
Because if he can't even compete in a dunk contest, then he can't even compete here in New York with the Knicks.
Yeah, you did mention that point to me when we were watching the All-Star game yesterday off air.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a fair point, I mean, but I personally think that the reason why he didn't want to compete is because I guess he was fear of having an injury. But then again, you never know.
Yeah.
But I think LeBron could handle it. But the only way he could prove that he could handle New York is by him signing on the dotted line, starting July 1st of 2010. But we shall see.
Yeah, well, there's going to be a lot of teams competing for him, so we'll see.
Yeah. And plus, there's with the Knicks, they have with David Lee making his first All-Star appearance after Allen Iverson stepped out of, he dropped himself out of the All-Star game because, unfortunately, his 5-year-old daughter is sick. Hopefully,
yeah,
it's not serious. I mean, I wish I knew what was the symptom of his daughter, but hopefully, you know, it's not serious.
Yeah, I mean, this is Valentine's Day. I mean, the thing I'm looking forward to the most is seeing David Lee in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
So that just tells you how my Valentine's Day is going, when I'm looking forward to a dude playing in an All-Star game. Looking forward to that.
Hey, look at the bright side, my friend. You know, it can only get better than this, man.
Yeah.
Then again, you could look at it on it could be a lot worse, too.
What do you mean?
I'm just saying, you know, you could be, you know, less fortunate. You know, you know, you're a healthy dude, you know, you got your, you know, all your limbs together and everything else. So, you know, you got some, I know it's a rough day, you know, believe me, but.
No, it's not a rough day, but, you know, I wanted to spend my Valentine's Day with a special girl.
I hear you.
What I'm looking forward to right now is just watching a damn All-Star game with a bunch of dudes.
I hear you.
Hey, you had a great Valentine's Day today. Why don't you tell your audience?
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, developmental, you know. I mean, it's nothing, I mean, it's good, but I mean, you know, it's nothing, you know, official, you know. You know, I saw a girl, you know, today, you know, that, you know, I'm interested in, and, you know, we're going to see if we could, you know, start a friendship. I mean, nothing's, you know, set in stone, you know. You know, if it, you know, becomes official, you know, I'll definitely, you know, announce it here on this show. Because, you know, on this show, you know, we talk sports, entertainment, and everything else. So
remember yesterday I was saying, you were saying that you were not in love. But come on, you're in love with this girl, man. You gotta stop it. Stop denying it.
I mean, I like her. I like her a lot. I like her a lot, but I mean, you know, it's not like we dated. I mean, I like her. I know her situation. You know, she's single, but I mean, I don't know. She, you know, I mean, it looks like from the vibe I got, it looks like, you know, she's interested. But then again, you know, I haven't, you know, really spoken to her, you know, see how, you know, how it's going to go. So it's, you know, I'm just going to keep my eyes open and see how it goes.
Okay.
You know, it's still in the developmental stages.
Yeah.
You know. So, you know, hopefully, you know, it works out. Not then, I'm, you know, still on the market, you know, still a single dude. But hopefully, you know, I'm going to see if
something can happen.
If something can happen, you know.
Yeah.
You can't make something out of nothing. If, you know, nothing comes of it, then, you know, I just got to move on and still stay on the single market until I find, you know, that lucky girl, you know.
Well, I'm proud that you finally had the balls to approach this girl.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hopefully, you know, it'll be worth it in the end. But, you know, it was, all in all, it was, you know, it was good.
Yeah, hopefully in the future you could give her some sensual seduction. Who knows?
We shall see. But, no, well, you know, I keep my fingers crossed on that.
All right. That's what I want to...
But, back to, anything you want to say about, you know, the, you know, making the All-Star game, you know, being the first Nick to, you know, be in, you know, to enter, you know, to be selected into the All-Star game, since, Allen Houston and, Latrell Sprewell in 2001.
Well, he should have made it last year.
Yeah, he should have.
So, he made it this year, but he made it this year by default because Allen Iverson, you know, he has to handle some personal matters. But David Lee deserves to be an All-Star, and he's in a great year. He's a double-double guy every year, and I hope he becomes MVP of the All-Star game tonight.
I hope so, but I don't think he's going to have enough playing time. But then again, we shall see how the game goes.
Yeah. Oh, also, you know what's on tonight? I know this has nothing to do with sports, but the Adult Expo on G4 TV.
Oh, yeah, they were giving commercial on that on G4 all day long with the Peter's mask on.
Yeah. So all you guys out there who like porn, you know, watch G4 tonight. Because, you know, let's face it, Will, I mean, this audience here is a female.
Yo, G4 should pay you for this sponsorship.
Hey.
Hey, they should pay us. I mean, we just gave them a plug for the show.
I'd love to join G4 TV. Hey, Olivia Munn, man. I want to meet Olivia.
Yeah, she's a hot lady.
But she's
on
taken.
The back of the show. Oh, she is, really?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not surprised, you know.
She looks good.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Who do you think is the best-looking female athlete?
Wow. That is a tough one right there. Man. Right now?
Yeah, now.
Best female athlete. And they have to be currently playing, or
yeah, currently playing.
Jeez. Mine is, I mean, jeez, wow. There's a bunch, but my mind is like drawing a blank right here. Let me see. Sharapova would be one of them. Game. Serena would be one.
Who?
What was that?
Who was that?
That's Serena.
Oh, Serena? Okay.
Lindsay, what's her name? Vaughn, that skiing. Was she just skiing, I think?
Yeah. I'd probably say she's the best looking one right now.
Yes, most of them would be, let me see, probably, off the top of my head, would probably be like, you know, like those single player kind of things. Yeah, Becky Hammon's a bad lady too, as well.
Who?
Becky Hammon.
Oh, yeah. She was in the All-Star Weekend skills competitions last night.
Forward.
Yeah, she was in that Shooting Stars competition.
Hmm. Yeah, I missed
that.
They
had, like, Team Texas versus Team L.A. versus Team San Antonio, whatever.
And we have New York? Oh, like, these are all... Wait, how do you have...
Four teams every year.
Wait, let me get this straight. They have Team Texas, they have Team... who was the other one?
Team L.A., Team... what was the other teams? Atlanta versus team.
So they have two Texas teams.
No. They have one Texas team. I mean.
All right. And they don't have no New York teams? They have I know the Knicks suck, but come on.
They pick random teams right here. There's only four teams get to compete every year.
But, I mean, they have Atlanta and L.A. I mean, it's not like they're in, you know, they're in Texas. I mean, you know, they could have picked
the New York team. I think the Knicks team has played before one of these.
So, what, they randomly do this from time to time or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It's not like all. They only can have four teams, you know?
Oh, okay. So I was going to, you know, take a little offense to that. Why the heck would they pick Atlanta over to New York?
Well, you know, it's random. They do it every year.
Okay.
You don't think I don't think they pick the same teams every year.
But I'm saying, you know, they have L.A. It's not like L.A. is in Texas either, you know? So I guess you answered my point. All right, what some of the, you know, female athletes you thinking of?
Lindsey Vonn. She's probably the top one right now.
Oh, yeah, who's that? That lady.
Patrick.
Oh, yeah, right, Danica Patrick, right. Yeah, that's another one.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking this girl. What's her name? Franco? She's like this. She's in the Olympic, the Summer Olympic. She was doing the... like a pole vault. You've seen her before. She's a brunette.
Oh, yeah, I think, yeah. Isn't she like in her 20s or something?
In the what?
I think I know you're talking. She's like in her 20s, right? Early
20s. I think so.
Yeah, I know you're talking about. So. Yeah, her too, yeah. Good looking.
Yeah.
But Lindsey Vonn is probably the top one, right? Just because she's in the news and good looking.
Yeah, right now I'd say definitely.
Danica Patrick's up there.
Yeah.
But then again, I can't really fantasize about Danica Patrick without that
the makeup,
that race car uniform that she always wears.
Yeah.
Every time I have a picture of her in my head, I keep on seeing that racing car uniform.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
In the uniform?
Yes. I can't picture her without it. Because that's what I'm used to seeing her in.
Maybe you're watching too many GoDaddy.com commercials.
No, but I'm saying, like, you can't really fantasize about her because that's all you... I mean, that's the only thing you see her in, that racing car uniform, so it's hard to not imagine her without her wearing it. Another WWE, what about WWE wrestler, Maryse?
Oh, yeah, the WWE was, yeah, Maryse.
He's an athlete.
Got Layla,
Mickey James.
Cole, Eva. Of course, it was James who said that.
The Bella Twins, even though they never
wrestled. So, yeah, the Bella Twins, right.
But they never wrestled, though. They just...
No, they have wrestled before in the past.
Yeah, I mean, but they rarely do.
Yeah, they haven't wrestled in a long time. Because when they first used to wrestle, they used to... that was before when one of them was fighting. And then afterwards... They like, one of them goes underneath the ring, and then the other one pops out. And then then they revealed, you know, later on that they're twins. And then that's when, you know, they've been coming out together as twins.
Yeah, and but all they do nowadays is just escort the
guest host.
Yeah, to the ring.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yo, Kim, another one.
Oh, yeah, Gail Kim, yeah, I forgot about her.
She's
gonna
give her a shot.
Yeah, she's going to fight against Maryse.
Yeah, remember what I told you, I think she's the best WWE female wrestler in WWE.
Yeah, she's, you know, flexible, you know, she could actually wrestle, you know.
Yeah.
She don't have to, you know, like most of the divas, you know, they got to scream, you know, when they fight in.
Yeah, she makes it seem more effortless.
Yeah.
He's a natural at it.
Dude, her first, when she debuted, she won the women's title. I forgot against who.
Yeah.
Like, when she first showed up, like, years ago.
Looks like she might win it again.
Yeah, against Maryse. And Maryse is, you know, she's like, Maryse is actually acting like she's a, a good girl.
Yeah.
But she's insulting her, according to what I read in the message board. There's a lady that, somebody on the message board that said that she's, insulting her in French.
Yeah, she is.
But Gail Kim, according to this person on the message board, I mean, can't trust everything you hear on the message board, but according to the person on the message board, they said that, well, I read that that Gail Kim is Canadian and that she comes from, you know, a French-speaking, area in Canada, so she does know what she's talking about. So maybe she might reveal, like, after the match, you know, when they're fighting, you know, maybe she might reveal that she understands what she's saying. Because every time Maryse is, acting like she's nice and then she's saying something in French, Gail is always acting like, what is she saying and stuff like that.
Yeah, but Gail Kim's character probably doesn't know. In your
probably.
Life, you know, Gail Kim is probably from there, but
yeah.
Like they're acting like she doesn't know what
exactly.
She's saying.
So. Yeah, so maybe she might, maybe her, you know, yeah, I see your point. But maybe in her character will, you know, she'll reveal that even her character knows.
Maybe.
But we shall see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to blank. I know there's more divas.
You said Layla, right?
Yeah, of course. You know me, man.
Her name, I forgot her name already. The blonde on Raw. The other one. Who smiles a lot.
Who smiles a lot. On Raw. Oh, Kelly Kelly.
Kelly.
We forgot about her.
Kelly Kelly.
Yeah.
Kelly
she's
Kelly.
One of the most obvious ones. I knew I forgot somebody.
Kelly Kelly.
Yeah.
That's also one of my favorites.
Yeah, I knew I forgot somebody. I couldn't put my finger on it. Like, who am I missing? I know I'm missing. I'm forgetting about somebody.
I'd love to put my finger in her.
Uh-oh, I think the FCC police is on it.
Kelly Kelly. But Raw was, it was okay, but...
Yeah. The only thing that really saved it from being an utter disaster was the ending of the Bret Hart thing.
Yeah.
You know, Bret Hart coming out. You know, John Cena, of course, you know, he's... acting like, you know, he's the next Hulk Hogan, you know, he's the face of, you know, WWE, you know. I just spoke to Bret Hart. He won't fight you in the WrestleMania. What do you say about that? And after Vince McMahon's like, okay, I'll fight him. And then afterwards, you know, the shocking thing, the thing that actually made it good was when Bret Hart surprised people, you know. I honestly thought he was in there in the arena.
Right.
So when he came out and, you know, attacked him from surprise, I actually fell for it.
man, I think Vince was going to fight him at WrestleMania. I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think so, too. Because there was a rumor that it would be like what they did with Bobby Lashley Umaga when they had Donald Trump, represent Bobby Lashley and Vince McMahon representing Umaga. They were saying that they might do that with, you know, Vince representing Batista and Cena Brett representing Cena.
Right.
But it looks like they're actually gonna do that match. And I hope I'm glad they'll do the match, even though of course Vince is right now, you know, storyline mode saying that he's not gonna do the match.
I don't know how, it might not be like a wrestling match, but it might be some kind of
Yeah, so it's going to be like a street
kind
fight. It's gonna be, right, it looks like it's going to be a street fight from all the rumors we're reporting.
Oh, okay.
But I'm going to warn you. I know you're a huge Bret Hart fan, but I'm warning you and all the, you know, the fans, you know. This is, you know, Bret Hart is, you know, 52 years old. He's, he had concussions. He had, you know, car accidents. And, you know, this is not going to be a classic match. Don't expect him to, you know, to do anything major, you know.
Well, yeah, of course.
I mean, this, you know, it's just going to be great to see him in a match. But, you know, just expect him to, you know, here's the bright part. Just expect him to kick Vince McMahon's butt all over the place.
I mean, yeah, he's up there in age, and, you know, he doesn't have the, he's not as quick as he used to be.
And durable as he used to be.
Yeah, so, yeah, of course, I'm not expecting him to do any special moves on Vince or anything.
Yeah.
But I don't even kick Vince's ass.
Yep. Dude, I don't even think he's going to do a pile driver. I think all you're going to see is him punching him, kicking him, using chairs on him.
Yeah, basically.
And then, you know, putting him in the sharpshooter.
Oh, yeah, that's what I want to see the most.
Oh, yeah. So they've been hinting that for the longest time, you know, for these past 2 weeks, that, you know, he's going to do the sharpshooter on him, and, you know, he hasn't had the chance to do it.
Yeah, I want to see Vince scream in pain when he's in that sharpshooter.
Yeah, because the way how they're making it seem is like, it's kind of like what they did with Rock and Hogan during that brief rivalry. It's like,
yeah.
they're not making him even touch Vince. Not even he haven't even really touched Vince. You know what I mean?
Nope.
Vince has always got the upper hand. You know.
And Vince has gotten Batista to beat him up.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw SmackDown. He was saying, Batista was supposed to give the explanation why he did all his stuff. I don't know if why he attacked Cena and Bret. I don't know if did you see it on Saturday? I mean, Friday?
No, I didn't see it.
Well, here's pretty much Batista did, you know. He walked into the ring. Now, since he's a villain, he literally has the spotlight on him when he walks. And then he goes into the ring. He stands there for like at least 10 to 15 minutes, not saying anything. Then he leaves. The fans are booing him. Because literally, by him not saying anything, now the fans are booing him because, I don't know, it seemed like the WWE Universe don't realize he's a villain. Because they still were cheering him, I mean, you know, when he comes out. You know what I mean?
That's strange.
You know,
that's strange.
Yeah, but when he came in, now he's not talking anymore. Now the fans are, I don't know, starting to realize that he's a bad guy, because he's not doing that stupid that entrance thing when he spins around and he does like that machine gun kind of entrance.
Right.
He doesn't do that anymore. You know, earlier on he acts like he's gonna do it, and then he just, you know, he stops it, and he just walks away.
Right.
You know, psyching the fans out. But then he walks away. Going back to the when he had the mic in his hand, he's like, "You want me to tell you the reason why?" And then he walks out. And afterwards he's halfway up the thing, and then he's mad, he's like, "You know what? Okay, fine, I'll tell you why." And then he did this like 3 or 4 times. The last time he comes back, he says, "All right, you wanna know why?" And then he just dropped the mic, kicks out of the way, and then walks away. And
that's crazy.
None of the times I never fell for it for 1 second that he was going to do it, because this guy was like, literally, this was like a 20-minute hit. I kid you not, of him literally not saying or doing anything. I'm guessing SmackDown had nothing else better to do.
Yeah, he's out of his mind these days.
Yeah, he has, you know, I know do storyline purposes, but, I mean, it's kind of stupid that he cost himself, you know, a title opportunity, you know, by letting CM Punk beat him by count out. But I would assume in the storyline purposes that Vince, you know, already promised him you know, a opportunity for, you know, attacking Brett.
Right.
But
he's a punk man. I think I could take Batista.
What you said?
I think I could take Batista.
You mean like beat him up?
Yeah. Yeah, I know he's old. He got the muscles and stuff. I could kick his ass. Don't you? I mean, he looks like a punk.
Yeah, I mean, he's much better as a villain. As a good guy, you know, he's a pushover, you know. I mean, it's like they're doing the opposite of Goldberg. I mean, you know, like
yeah.
When Goldberg and Ultimate Warrior, you know, they just beat people up, like, you know, a matter of seconds, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they don't, but I think Batista and Cena, I think they're overdoing it that, you know, letting people beat up on them and then make them, you know, act like they're underdogs and then they beat the, they beat the person in the end.
Yeah. And with Batista, I mean, you could defeat him by using pepper spray. Just spray it in his ass, you know? I just use pepper spray on him. That's it. Blind him.
You don't even have to use a pepper spray. Dude.
Kick him in the balls. Or punch him in the balls.
Just hope the referee isn't watching. Because the referees are worse than the NBA refs. See, that's what they really need to do in WWE. They need to get, I know, even though this is part of, you know, storylines, because it's fake, they should have NFL refs, you know, officiate the game. Because the NFL refs, I mean, they are the best refs, officiators in the game. They take, you know, their time. They come out, they give you, like, a minute-long explanation why, you know, what's the call, why they gave the call and all that stuff. All right, under review.
Yeah, but if you had that in wrestling, you'll slow down the match.
Well, yeah. No, I know. I'm not serious about that, but I'm just saying.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying that the NFL referees are the best officiators.
Oh, okay.
So they give you this long, drawn out. You know, they give you the result, and then they give you this whole explanation why and all that stuff. But of course, we know the WWE refs. You know, every time something, you know, is going on there. They happen to be knocked out. They are looking the other way. They're distracted.
They're being distracted, yeah. Always.
They're like the NBA refs, man. When the superstar attacks somebody from behind, you know, gives them a low blow or, you know, like a Stone Cold Stunner, the NBA ref, if LeBron James, you know, just, you know, kicks somebody in the balls from behind, the NBA ref isn't looking, and D'Antoni's like, you didn't see that ref.
Yeah.
And then the NBA ref didn't see anything.
But the WWE refs, they're pathetic. I mean, I don't know how you can't hear someone else coming in the ring to interfere in the match. Hey, come on. Doesn't make any sense.
Dude, the only way I could understand you being distracted is if a WWE diva is talking to you. That would be reasonable.
I know, right?
And I don't know how these guys still get paid.
Sometimes, like, the person comes in the ring and hits them with a steel chair, and the referee still doesn't hear it.
Yep.
How do you not hear that? It doesn't make any sense.
For real, I mean, of course we all know it's fake, but for
make it realistic.
Storyline purposes, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I mean,
no.
For anybody to watch it and, you know, actually think this is real, I mean.
Stupid.
I mean, come on.
Crazy.
Dude, I read in the message where someone actually thought was wondering if the Montreal Screwjob was a storyline thing.
It Montreal Screwjob? No, that happened. That was real.
Yeah, I mean, I know that. Yeah, I know that. But someone in the message was asking that.
A lot of these people in message board, they spread a lot of damn rumors and a lot of stupid gossip.
Yeah, I'm assuming the person's serious that they. I'm assuming it's a Cena fan, you know, a young 3-year-old or 5-year-old kid who, you know, who just got into wrestling who's asking this. I would hope so, because if it's like a 35-year-old dude, you know, and he's asking this question, I mean, come on.
All he has to do is watch the documentary. It's all in the the Bret Hart documentary that came out years ago. I think it was called Heart with Shadows or something. Something like that, I think. But you just have to watch that documentary because it shows that it was real.
Yeah. Other than that, that's like in the 1% of stuff that are actually real. Right?
Yeah.
So everything else you see pretty much, I mean, fake. I mean, yeah. Other than, you know, the blood and unless they have a way of, you know, making it up or something, but I assume it's real. But other than that, everything you see is pretty much fake. Scripted.
Well, the blood is real.
Well, yeah, I mean.
But they have a way of making them bleed.
Yeah.
Themselves bleed.
Right, exactly. But other than that, you know, wrestling is fake.
Yeah.
And the thing that, you know, back in the days, you know, if you said that, that's like the biggest curse word you could tell, you know, a professional wrestler. It's fake.
Oh, yeah.
They're literally going to fight you.
Yeah, because back then they wanted you to think that it was real.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you know, I used to think it was real back in the day when I was a little kid.
Well, yeah, because you were a little kid.
Yeah.
You know, that's understandable.
Over time, I found out it was fake.
Yeah.
You know how I found out it was fake?
Because they had to go, I think, to a congressional hearing to admit it, I think.
I found out it was fake when they had this special report on WOR Channel 9 years ago, and they did a report about it, how it was fake, and then that's how I found out.
Oh.
So, like, in 94 or something.
Hmm.
So I was, like, 12 years old.
How did you feel when you found out it was fake?
I didn't feel bad about it, you know. Because as a kid, you know, like, you think it's real, but you have a suspicion that it might be fake.
Yeah.
So when I found out, I was in shock or anything. Because I sense some kids do have a suspicion it is fake.
Yeah, you didn't.
But they
you
think
didn't break.
It's real, you know.
Yeah, I mean, to this day, there's people who actually think it's real, man. Did I remember like last year when Edge was like, you know, Edge was still a villain at the time. He won the title. I think he beat Cena, right? And he was like. He was going up to the fans. He was like, I fought. Yeah, this was like when he won the. This was like last year when he won the Elimination Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
When he won the. Yeah, this was like exactly like 1 year ago. When the first Elimination Chamber. When he attacked Kofi Kingston from behind and took his spot and then later ended up winning the, you know, the World Heavyweight title. After losing the WWE title. In the first Elimination Chamber match earlier in that day.
Yeah.
So, anyway, he was saying, I told you I'd come out champion, you know. And he was like, I told you, he's pointing at random people. And then he walks up, and he points at this old dude with a John Cena gear. Like, this guy's like, I don't know, like, let me think how old this guy was. He was like, maybe 35 to, like, maybe 40-something years old. And he was like, I fooled you. And then he's like, and then he pointed to the kid and he's like, I even fooled you to like this 5-year-old kid. And then this guy, the adult dude, he goes up to Edge and he's like, leave him alone. And he's like, flexing like he's going to punch him in the face. Like, dude, seriously, Edge is not going to hit the kid. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, dude.
Crazy, man.
I mean, come on.
Stupid.
I mean, gosh, man. This guy is like
real.
literally yelling, leave the kid alone. Like Edge is going to attack the kid. I think he wants a lawsuit and a whooping from the mother. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure Edge isn't going to attack the kid. And I bet this the same guy. I bet the same guy, now that Edge is a good guy again, he's going to be cheering for Edge.
Yeah, this is so like years ago when Stone Cold Steve Austin was in WWE, and he was being attacked by somebody. I forget. But this lady called 911 from her house to tell 911 that her favorite wrestler was being attacked.
Was it Brian Pillman? Was
he
it the Brian Pillman?
I don't even remember who it was.
What year was this?
They're talking about that on the news.
What year was this when this happened?
97.
Oh, this! I think this was around the Brian Pillman thing. I think that was around that time.
I don't remember.
I think that was around that time because remember when Stone Cold broke into Brian Pillman's house, and then
I remember that, yeah.
And then afterwards, Stone Cold broke into his house, and then afterwards they were saying Pillman got a gun and stuff like that. One of the most controversial scenes in wrestling history, especially on Raw.
That guy was
maybe that's when it happened. It's definitely the Attitude Era. What you said? Yeah, the Attitude Era. The Attitude Era was, man, that was the bomb. That's, you know, that was era when I jumped into wrestling. You know, to me, I'm biased. You know, I know Hogan's, you know, era, you know, is considered the golden era. I know the era after that, you know, the next generation with Shawn Michaels and Bret, you know, was another, you know, great era, not as great as the Hogan era, but to me, the Attitude Era is the greatest to me because, you know, I just jumped into that era, so.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm biased.
Yeah, but it was a great era.
Attitude Era, stuff like that happened all the time, you know, people fighting in the streets, you know, backstage. And then, I don't know if you remember the Randy Orton versus Triple H when Triple H attacked Randy Orton at Randy Orton's quote unquote home.
Yeah, that was recently.
Yeah, that was this year. Man, after that, I was so hyped for the match. You know, the Orton versus Cena match. Like, oh, this is gonna be a real good match. And then, of course, we saw the WrestleMania match, and even Triple H himself, you know, admitted that the Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker match upstaged their match.
Yeah, that was the best match.
Yeah.
And it might happen again this year, probably.
Yeah, all signs are pointing that it looks like they're going to do that again. Because
what were you going to say?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, because on Raw, SmackDown, which I missed that part, John Morrison was going to fight R-Truth. And then he was doing, like, John Morrison was about to do, like, this flip, and he landed awkwardly on his leg. Don't know if it's, you know, for storyline purposes or if he really got hurt.
Oh.
But he got hurt. He twisted his ankle. And now the spot is open. So it looks like Shawn Michaels might take that spot and,
wow,
you know, win, you know. Well, actually, he'll enter the Elimination Chamber. But the rumor is that he's going to lose. And then Jericho is going to win. And then Jericho with the title is going to face Edge. And then Shawn Michaels and Undertaker are going to face each other, you know, at WrestleMania. But, you know, we shall see.
Yeah, well.
It's all rumors right now.
John Morrison sucks anyway.
What you say?
John Morrison, he sucks.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he's way better than Drew McIntyre. But it looks like they're, it's like they need to develop Sheamus and Drew McIntyre. I mean, these guys, I know they're Triple H's buddies, which is pretty much why, you know, why Sheamus is the WWE champion in, like, the shortest period amount of time with someone who hasn't even won any other belt. He never been an Intercontinental champion. I mean, ECW, he was on there forever. He never won that. Never won the United States title. Man, he even won he didn't win the tag team titles. He didn't even win the women's title. And then this guy, out of nowhere, you know, he's the champion, WWE champion. When there's been greats like, you know, Million Dollar Man, Mr. Perfect, who's never held the WWE title.
Yeah, he's he has no charisma, personality.
He has none.
Right.
I know. Shoot, Christian.
McIntyre, too.
Yeah, man. These guys have no charisma whatsoever. They don't even have any. I mean, Sheamus has, you know, slightly better moves than Drew McIntyre. But Sheamus, he has no. Man, Christian killed him on the mic the other day. When he, I think it was last week.
That was on SmackDown?
No, on Raw.
Oh, Christian was on Raw?
Huh? What you said?
Christian was
no,
on Raw?
No, Christian's the ECW champion on Raw to talk to Sheamus.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Okay, yeah.
Was that this Raw or was it last week's Raw?
I don't know.
Probably was last week's one.
Yeah, I think it was last week because I don't remember it was this week.
Yeah. So, yeah, he was talking Christian was talking trash to him on the mic, man. And Sheamus, man, he didn't have no defense. He's like, you're a comedian, huh? You know, he had no comeback. This guy, to me, he's the worst WWE champion in history.
Yeah, he's dry.
I mean, I honestly can't think of you've been a longer fan than I have. I can't think of a wrestler who has no charisma. His in-ring moves are, mediocre at best. I mean, other than the bicycle kick and the razor's edge, which I think that he called it the Celtic Cross, which used to be the name of Finley's finishing move, but who the heck ever knows what happened to Finley, but that's another story for another time.
Yeah, Finley reappears and disappears and reappears, where the hell he is.
But him, who do you think is the worst WWE champion of all time?
Wow, of all time? I remember I told you this, the answer to this, but I forgot. Can't remember.
You think
I remember you asked me this like months ago, and I gave you the answer to this.
Right, I remember that too.
Was it Big Show? Didn't I say Big Show?
Oh, maybe it was Big Show, yeah, because I can't remember Big Show's title reign either.
Yeah, Big Show.
And Kane, I think he was a champion for maybe a day or so.
Yeah.
Dude, even Vince McMahon won the WWE title.
Yeah, probably Big Show's the worst.
Yeah, he's won World Heavyweight titles and stuff like that, but rarely. But, yeah, Big Show would be one of the worst. So he was like A-Rod prior to this year, to the 2009 season. It's like he put up big numbers, but when he dominates, but when it's a championship, he just folds.
Yeah.
Like a Chief Aquarian or something.
And now he's won the tag team championship several times, and now with Miz. Yep.
Yeah. The boy Miz is the tag team champion. He's the first ever guy to hold three championships in a row.
Miz is on fire.
Yeah.
He has a U.S. title, tag team title.
Maybe that means he's going to drop the title to MVP soon.
Possibly.
Unless they want to him to hold on to the titles a little longer. Because MVP, he's one of the most underutilized wrestlers right now.
Where is MVP, by the way?
You asking me? I have no idea, man. He's on Raw, supposedly.
He's missing in action.
I know. WWE, man, it's like they have the talent, but they don't know how to use it. And another bad thing they did was Ashoka, which I found out on, I think it was Thursday or Friday, is that one of the most iconic pay-per-view events of all time, the Survivor Series, is no more.
Yeah, I was shocked when you told me that.
Yeah, I was surprised myself. This pay-per-view event is like the second or the third longest pay-per-view event.
Yeah, it's been around for a while. I think the first year was in 1987.
Yeah. Was it older than Royal Rumble or just?
Yeah, it's older than Royal Rumble.
When was Royal Rumble?
Royal Rumble, I think, was introduced in.
Was it probably or something?
In 90.
No, Royal Rumble. I think Royal Rumble was on in the '80s too. The '80s. What's his name? Hacksaw Jim Duggan won it.
Yeah, that's. Wait, let me see.
What's the first ever winner?
I think Royal Rumble could have been 1990, probably, the first one. Because when they first had it, when the person won it, they didn't get a shot at WrestleMania like it is now, when they first had the first ever Royal Rumble. But I have to check on that, though.
Yeah, let me check that out. Because the first Rumble, Hacksaw Jim Duggan won it, and, you know, he that was the only claim to fame he has.
That's true.
It could have been, yeah, it probably could have been 1989, maybe, or 1988. But I know the Survivor Series came way before Royal Rumble and SummerSlam. But no, I think SummerSlam and Survivor Series were introduced in the same year. And then Royal Rumble came afterwards. Let me see are you looking online too?
I was going to go check that out right now.
Okay, yeah, 1988 was the first Royal Rumble. So it came a year after the Survivor Series.
Well, why are you looking for it?
1988,
right?
Yeah, it came a full year after the Survivor Series.
Yeah. Well, have you heard of, switch gears a little bit. What are your thoughts of Keith Hernandez mentoring Daniel Murphy, Chris Carter, and Nick Evans on, you know, playing first base?
I think it's good. You know, I think Keith Hernandez was a good, very good first baseman, and he'll help those guys develop, and they'll learn the position more from a veteran and a legend.
I agree. I mean, it can only help, you know, them learning from arguably the greatest first baseman, defensive first baseman of all time, who won a record setting 11 consecutive Gold Gloves. I think it's going to be a plus. Keith said that, Daniel Murphy has natural soft hands, which you can't, you can't teach that, you know. And plus that he's an aggressive first baseman. You know, he's trying to, you know, try to go for the double plays instead of just trying to get the sure out at first. So, you know, Daniel Murphy got some, he has potential.
Yeah. This is a special ending song for your show today.
Turn the house on fire.
Excuse me. Yeah, I was going to play that as the ending for your show today, but it's kind of too loud. So we'll play the original ending for the show.
That's the Hearts on Fire, right? From the Rocky movie. What's on that? Rocky 4?
Yeah. Yeah, Rocky.
Yeah, man, that's one theory that was really good.
Oh yeah.
Because the third movies, the sequels are usually horrible, but that movie was really good.
I love that.
Yeah.
We say that again?
I predict the East is gonna win. What about you?
You said Triple H?
No, East. The East, the All Star game.
Yeah, the All Star game, right? I think the West is gonna win.
I think the East will win. I'm rooting for them. Well, with that, if that's all the time we have on the show, then. Thank Macaulay Matthews for coming on the show again. You know,
thanks.
And I want to thank all the listeners on the show for, of course, the producer. Thank everybody, the listeners, for listening to the show. See you next week, same time, same place. Have a great weekend, everybody. So long.